BlakeRadio.com.
The following program is not intended for children. It contains mild language, violence, sexual innuendo, wink, wink, brief nudity, and deals with mature themes that some may find offensive. Parental discretion is advised.
Hey, this is Chris Jericho, the Ayatollah of rock and roll, and you are listening to WTR Sunday Night.
Wild Talk Radio Network presents to you the evolution of online sports entertainment.
AIDS versus youth in a Goodwill exhibition match.
Wrestle Talk Radio. Breaking down everything in the world of professional wrestling.
You can't just turn off and on like some radio.
With your host, Tim Stein.
Boy, you really look good for an older guy.
Mace.
He's not a machine. He's a man.
Omega.
You know, you're developing a very, very loud personality.
And the producer.
From the great fighting city of Philadelphia.
Sir Rocket.
Hey, this is the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Adam Copeland, a.k.a.
Hey, this is former WWE Superstar Shawn Michaels.
This is Booker T. Podcast. WCW champ, and you're listening to WTR Sunday Night.
Don't stop listening, or I will find you. I know where you live. I have seen the earth.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Yo, it's about time.
That's it, you big sucker!
And welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another evening of wrestling news, notes, and other bullshit, otherwise known as Wrestle Talk Radio, right here on WildTalkRadio.com. Filling in for Omega, who is currently out shopping his way around Florida. If you do see him around, point him to the good stuff. I am Mace. Joining me tonight, of course, we seem to have, you know, the guy who's playing up Philadelphia for some friggin' reason, Rocky. That's our producer. He produced all this stuff, so, okay, you know, we suck a little Philadelphia cock every now and again. But otherwise, I'm also joined by the guy who actually runs all this shit, so I'm going to shut up now for Mr. Tim Stein.
There you go. Yeah, good evening, everybody. Welcome to another edition of WTR Sunday Night. Wrestle Talk Radio, the original, and still the best. Well, the original, anyway. He's the producer, but you can blame me for picking Rocky and Survivor Eye of the Tiger. That's my fault.
How unusual. Something is your fault.
There you go. Yeah, I know. It's not that I do anything bad ever. So, yeah, Rock defending himself. He didn't pick it. I picked it. Aw, muffin. Anyway, yeah. So, we're not going to be doing our winner and fail for this week in the world of professional wrestling because, well, yeah, we're just not doing it. I didn't really watch all of Raw, and I completely missed SmackDown this week, so I've got nothing really to talk about. And, well.
I blame the tournament structure. There is absolutely nothing that's going to sit there and make you want to fall asleep faster than watching tournaments that you pretty much know the outcome already.
Yeah, way to go, Seth Rollins, you dumb bugger, screwing everything up by getting himself hurt.
not so much that. You got to remember that Raw this week was from the UK, which means a lot of it was pre-taped, which means a lot of us read the results beforehand, and it was just like, yeah, okay, the people who are advancing, we knew they were going to advance. Good for them.
And pretty much whenever they tape it in the UK, the majority of people reading spoilers don't watch Raw unless something is in the spoilers that really catches their eye. And there wasn't really anything this week. But before we actually get going, Mace, a couple of things. First off, I just wanted to send my thoughts to the people of France over what happened.
Yeah. Why are we opening on such sad stuff?
Well, you know,
the world's going to hell in a handbasket, man. And I'm just like, I'm done. I just, like, I have sympathy for all those in Paris and Beirut, Japan that had an earthquake as well.
Yeah.
And all those other places that have suffered some sort of tragedy in the past weekend. But, man, it's the end times are coming, people. We're heading towards the apocalypse, man. This is getting bad.
It almost feels like it, definitely, for sure. I didn't want to go into any, you know, there's no need for us to go in depth on anything and cover stuff. It's been covered ad infinitum. You know, and the other little piece of business of sending our thoughts to everybody else affected by their respective, situations, I guess is one way to put it. But, just always good to have, you know, in the back of your mind, in your heart, you know, the people affected by such tragedies, some natural, some could be avoided. Go figure. You know, sad bit of news in the wrestling world. Wrestling legend Nick Bockwinkel. He passed away. I guess it was when was that? On Friday? Friday night?
Yeah, I think it was Friday night or Saturday. It's like so much going on in the world right now. It's hard to keep track of exactly what was going on at what time, what day. Even my family's had a bit of hard times. My stepfather's aunt passed away this past Wednesday. They're currently on their way up to New South Wales for the funeral. So, yeah, it's like, you know, death, destruction, and everything else seems to be permeating throughout the air at the moment.
Yeah. Currently no cause of death yet released for Nick Bockwinkel. And it was reported today that he died yesterday, last evening, last night. So
blame Rob.
It's all Rob's fault. This, you know, ever since Rob came on the scene, the world's been going to hell.
He needs to stop. He really does.
Yeah, there you go. Well, you know, Nick, he was born in 1934, and you know, he lived a pretty full life, especially in his professional wrestling career. He was mainly with the AWA, the American Wrestling Association, out of the United States. He had a few matches in the NWA, especially the NWA Pacific Northwest here. Held a few different titles and had a few storied rivalries with a couple of different people. Dick the Bruiser, the Crusher, Billy Robinson, Greg and Vern Gagne, Mr. Sato, Mad Dog Vachon, Tito Santana. I mean, you know, just one of those greats, old timers, as it were. And it's just another one gone. Of course, the most controversial thing that ever happened with Nick Bockwinkel, I don't know why I keep saying Bonk, was his with his match against Hulk Hogan, where he dropped the title to Hogan, and then it got reversed, which led to Hogan quitting and going back to World Wrestling Federation. Oh, my God, when was that? 1982, 81, so.
Yeah, very much pre my time on this earth.
Yeah. Rest in peace, Nick Bockwinkel, and thank you very much for attending all those of us who had the opportunity and the chance to catch wrestling. Of course, he had a few matches up here in Stampede Wrestling for Stu here and there. He was one of the guys who traveled. He's one of the, you know, one of the traveling that would come in every now and then, like Andre the Giant, for, you know, just another example. So, yeah, but that being done, we go from the tragic to the sad to the absolute ridiculous. Did you see what Sonny said?
Yes, I saw what Sonny said, and as per usual, Sonny puts a foot in her mouth.
I mean, how stupid is that? Everybody that doesn't know what we're talking about, this happened like yesterday. Tammy Sitch, also known as Sunny, from her WWF days, posted a couple controversial comments regarding the terrorist attacks in Paris, France. She said, "What I think, and this I'm quoting, what I think the world needs is another Holocaust, but this time for the Islams of the world, the ones who really should be extinguished. Hail Trump." Now, she deleted the post and said that if you can't take a joke, basically fuck off. You know, if you don't understand that most of my posts are jokes, then get off my page. Unfriend yourself and make room for people who matter. I think she should take her own advice. I think she should unfriend herself and make room for people who matter. This is stupid. You can't post something like this and claim that, oh, it's just a joke.
Well, that's just a defense mechanism. That's her trying to save her own skin. But here's the funny thing.
Yeah.
To a degree, she's right.
Well,
we don't need it. Okay, hear me out. We don't need another Holocaust. What we need is some heavy-handed military style tactics to just fucking destroy the ISIL or ISIS or whatever they want to call themselves.
Whatever day of the week
just fucking wipe them off the face of the earth. Just fucking drop everything.
Now,
because if they can traverse from where they are all the way in a fucking, in the middle of Paris and fucking set off something like that, I'm sorry. Gloves off, get some 1980s Arnold Schwarzenegger motherfuckers, walk in there and just fucking obliterate everything.
Go commando.
Wipe them off the fucking map.
Now, I'm not gonna disagree with you on that. I think that any radical extremist should be neutralized with all due and extreme prejudice. Just everybody keep a level enough head not to lump all of Islam into the same bucket, because Islam is a religion of peace, and you know, you've got them, and then you've got the radicals. And, you know, the terrorists. And ISIS, I don't give a damn what they say. They are not Muslims. They're mass murderers. Let's drop the word terrorist and call it what it is. They're mass murderers.
Yeah. Like, I hold nothing against Islam as a religion.
Yeah.
When 9/11 happened, God, nearly 15 years ago.
You believe
it? I sat down. I was in, I was basically in a version of college here in Australia. I sat down with a guy who said, I am a part of the Islam religion. You know, I am a Muslim.
Yeah.
I sat down with him. I talked to him and asked him questions about his religion.
Mm-hmm.
I got as much information as I could. And once again, as it is with all religions, it's a difference in a book. Okay, they all preach the same thing. Love, tolerance, be good to your fellow man, and you will be rewarded.
Yep.
That's what all these religions preach, the exact same thing. The difference is the writing in a fucking book.
Interpretation. Just to look at it from the outside, the Prophet Muhammad said, better you kill yourself than harm somebody else. You know, that's just one quote. I have run into so many people who have condemned all Muslims and the Islamic religion over this. And this is exactly what ISIS and ISIL want. They want everybody to hate all Muslims, so all Muslims wind up on the same page. You know what I mean? On the same side. Yeah. Don't do that, people. Don't do it.
To bring it back to the story, Tammy needs to fucking learn to take a step back before she puts fingers to keyboard, because it seems every time lately when she's out there saying something, or when she's in front of a fucking keyboard on her Facebook page or something like that, she is saying something stupid. How many times have we done stories on this fucking same podcast of this bitch doing something fucking stupid?
If we don't talk about stupid shit she's done four times a year, then it's a slow news day.
Easily. Probably about closer to about 6 to 8 times a year, we have picked up stories about this dumb bitch saying stupid things time and time again. You know, she needs somebody to fucking tell her stop. Step back from a computer. Don't go fucking driving. Don't go drinking. Don't go doing your fucking drugs. Just fucking step back and let yourself be unplugged from the fucking world, because every time you do something, you make it fucking worse for yourself.
Yeah, I swear to God, her brain works at the level of a 17-year-old hormonally charged boy. You know what I'm talking about.
Not even that.
Yeah,
I've met, okay. I've met 2-year-olds that are smarter than she is.
Yeah. Well, you know, my son Owen is head and shoulders above this bride. And he's got his moments. So.
But this is the thing, like, she turns around, she puts out, the world needs another Holocaust, we need to wipe, you know, Islam, Muslims off the face of the planet, hail Trump. It was a joke. Yet her name will still be in the fucking WWE Hall of Fame. Hogan says nigger once, gone.
Yep.
I'm sorry, when are they going to step in and remove this bitch from their fucking Hall of Fame?
I tell you,
4,000 things worse than fucking Hogan's done doing one thing.
I am surprised as hell that she is still in there. I really, really, truly, honestly am. I just, you know, floored. So, just absolutely amazing.
Stupid person to another, really, please. Well, I don't want to talk about it anymore.
I just wanted to talk about my granddad really quickly. When I was a kid, he had a poster, like a little plaque hanging up, and it says, it's better to remain silent and be thought a fool than speak up and remove all doubt. Now let's move on. From one dummy to another dummy. Who are we talking about this time, Mace?
Good old Billy Gunn, you dumb motherfucker. Billy Gunn has been let go from the WWE due to the use of PEDs. What a moron. Tim, you want to jump in here, or are you actually, like, fucking off? Tim's actually crashed. Even better! So yeah, Billy Gunn fired for PEDs. Basically, drugs. He got caught with the wellness policy, so they let him go. It's fair enough. You know, the guy is a trainer at the WWE Performance Center down there in Florida. He's got to set an example. And if he's not setting an example for all the kids in NXT and those coming up through developmental, then yeah, bye, dude. The biggest problem is this is now the second trainer that they've lost, but then again, they have so many others hopefully waiting in the wings that can stay drug-free, not bully the students or anything else, and yeah. So, the idea is, like, can he come back at a later point? It's possible. You know, he'd have to, again, clean himself up first, like anybody else. You know, people do deserve a second chance, but eventually, they run out of those chances. You know, something... This is pretty small, and yeah. So, Tim, you back?
Yeah, my Skype was just in the middle of telling you, but I'll just say it. My Skype froze and died and crashed and shit like that. First time I've ever seen that happen on the new computer with Windows 10. Weird.
Wow, that's half the problem with Windows 10.
Yeah, so, there you go.
Thoughts on Billy Gunn being fired for PEDs?
He's a dumbass. And here's the thing. This was way back in June. Right? That he got busted by, what was it, a bodybuilder federation or whatever it was, and they busted him for PEDs, and WWE just found out about it.
Okay.
It's kind of sort of like, okay, fine. He's been banned for life from this one federation from getting caught. Did WWE need to fire him? Did they need to can him over this?
Well, as I was saying, while you were otherwise indisposed with your computer going, Burko and everything else... Yeah. He's got to set an example to these kids.
Yeah.
And if he's getting busted for this type of stuff, then, yeah, they're within all rights to fire him.
Yeah. That would be my point exactly. I mean, sure, if he wasn't involved in Tough Enough, if he wasn't a trainer or, you know, had any kind of influence on the up-and-comers, then I'd say suspend his ass and don't worry about him and bring him back 6 months later. After, you know, a series of random drug tests over the 6 months. But because he's in such an important position, he had to go. And that's all there is to it. That really is all there is to it. If I am a drug addict trying to recover from my addiction and I go to this, you know, Druggies Anonymous or whatever it is, I don't need the guy that I'm trying to get help from being hooked at the same time. If he's a former addict and knows what it's like, that's different. That's fine. But if he's still currently using it, that'd be like, it would kind of sort of raise an eyebrow with me if, you know, I go in there and the requirement is that I have to bring all of the drugs that I have from home and give them to him at the beginning of every counseling session. And this is kind of what this is reminding me of. Classic case of do as I say, not as I do, maybe?
We always don't do what you say, Tim.
There you go. No, do what I say, don't do what I do, so.
We don't do what you say or what you do, sir.
Well, you should do some of the stuff I say. It's not like I'm going to tie you on your knees and bark like a dog. Your name's not Trish.
Yeah, goddamn Canada. They get it. No, speaking of Trish, like something just popped into my head the second you mentioned Trish. The Topps Trading Card Company are getting ready to put out some new WWE cards.
Yep.
They have a special Superstars of Canada set.
Yep.
And it will feature the only card of Trish Stratus in, yep, like, the last decade.
Yep.
What makes it even worse? 25 of them are hand-signed by Trish. Only available in Canada.
Yeah. So you want me to get my hands on one for you, do you?
Sure, if you can.
Seeing as I'm in Canada.
You know, it's like, you know, 25, there's only 25 of the cards available, and yeah, they're probably going to sell pretty quick.
Yep. Well, here's the thing. Of all of, you know, the 25 cards are signed, right? And I don't know how many grand total that are being released in the collection.
I think it's a set of about 15 cards.
Yeah.
And God, they probably print somewhere in it. Like, you probably have a 1 in 1500 shot, maybe.
Yeah. Now, you realize that she's not allowed to sign any cards. Like, if you're a fan and you meet her, go to a meet and greet, and you have her, you know, you've got her card, but it's not the one of the signed ones, she's not allowed to sign it.
That's very weird because usually they will sign cards if you take them up to them.
Yeah, but the difference is these are special collector's editions, 25 only, and you got to be lucky enough to be one of the lucky ones to open the pack and there's a signed edition, right?
Yeah, it's something those lines.
It's the other ones that she can sign. She just can't sign the card that already has the other signature on it. If you get one that doesn't have the signature on it already, you can't get her to sign it.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, Superstars of Canada is a 10-card set, that features Trish, Brett, Edge, Kevin Owens, Natalya, and others, an autographed version of the set that has just 25 hand-numbered copies.
Yeah, so. Oh, well. I'll keep my eyes open.
God damn it.
Yeah, well, Canada says sorry, but then again, we always do.
Pretty much. You guys always say sorry. It doesn't really matter if you're at fault or not. You always say sorry.
Well, it's really weird. We have the reputation of being the most polite sons of bitches on the planet, and I happen to know for a fact I'm Canadian, and I've run into quite a few rude fuckers that live here. So.
Oh, yeah, you're always going to get that.
Quite a bunch of them. Anyway, that's all, that's that. Before we take our first time out of the evening, get into segment two, something meaty that we can talk about that has got to do with fighting, but not necessarily professional wrestling. We want to spend a few minutes talking about this on the other side of the break. What happened last night, Mace?
Yeah, we'll be getting into that at some
Absolutely.
Point.
Yeah, but before we do,
we can sort of tie it in. Really, because like you were talking about Canadians being polite people.
Yep.
Supposedly they were calling Australians very polite at UFC 193 last night.
Yeah, well,
very quiet. They thought we were like bloodthirsty, like the American crowd. But yeah, I'll explain why that set we sound so different when we get to the segment.
Yeah. Yeah, that's one thing that really struck me is when they were talking about that the Australians are so quiet. They're so involved in all of these matches. Like, dude, you don't know Aussie fans, do you? I know what's going on. I have an Aussie friend. But we'll skip down to the second part and then go to our first break of the evening. I guess there's a very, very good likelihood Jake the Snake Roberts is going to be part of a brand new promotion that's planning on launching in January. And I got this straight from the horse's mouth, Jake the Snake Roberts himself. He was here in Calgary. When was that? Back on the 10th, so like 5 days ago, he was doing a one-man show at one of the comedy clubs in Calgary here. Did an interview on the radio, on the sports radio, and they had him on there for a good 45 minutes. They're having a great time with him. And he said he had to cut out about 75% of what he wanted to talk to on the radio because he's got a really, really bad habit of dropping the F-bomb all over the place.
Well, Jake.
That's Jake.
Can't expect anything less out of him.
Yeah, he just said, that's just the way we talk in the locker room, brother. So he said, don't bring the kids because it's very uncensored. But apparently it's supposed to be a really good show. He just like hangs out and tells you road stories, basically, and locker room stories.
Which is what everybody wants, really. We want to hear the road stories. We want to hear that type of stuff.
Yep. But he also, in the middle of the interview, he let it drop that he's got a thing he's involved with a federation that's starting up in January out of Las Vegas. And there's a link to it in our little our notes that I haven't actually gone and checked out the link. But I guess it's Classic Wrestling Revolution. Or something like that. And it's all supposed to be going back to old school is what he was talking about. Like old school wrestling stuff that you saw in the 70s and the 80s and the very, very, very early part of the 90s. And I guess Shane Douglas is backing this company?
Yeah, I've been hearing bits and pieces about this whole thing over the past week.
Yeah.
I'm just flicking through the article now because I heard – originally, it was Jerry Jarrett that was backing this. So, who knows who's really involved? But yeah, I know Road Warrior Animal, Shane Douglas, and Jake Roberts are competitors.
Yeah. Well, I thought that Jerry Jarrett was one of the silent partners of Global Force Wrestling. No,
I have no idea.
I can't remember if I heard that someplace or if that's just my assumption. But, Oh, well, if, you know, that's interesting. These guys are all going to be competitors.
Actually, okay. According to the article, the person funding the promotion is Bill Townsend, an executive who has worked with such companies as Beachbody, Lycos, and Newegg.com in the past.
Yeah, okay. Well, Jake was really putting the promotion over and saying that they were hoping that they could actually do what TNA didn't do and give WWF a little bit of a run for their money. Yeah, I have a hard time seeing that.
That's sort of high, I guess I would call it high praise. I guess it's high expectations.
Yeah.
Would be the correct term if he's looking at, like, we want to give WWE a run for their money. You won't be able to. Nobody can give WWE a run for their money.
Yeah, that's like more pie in the sky is what you're looking for, I think, maybe.
Yeah, pretty much. It's lofty aspirations.
There you go. That's a hell of a reach, Jake. And, like, if you guys can actually legitimately give WWE a run for the money, good. It'll bring back legitimate competition and make wrestling good again. Because they're going to have to put out good shows to compete against each other, which is only good for everybody. We all know that TNA failed miserably doing that. How long has TNA been around for? 12 years?
Yeah, 14, something like that.
14 years? When did they start? 2002?
Yeah, I think 2000. I know they started going to, like, the weekly television / monthly pay-per-view format in 2004.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember if it was 2 or 3 years prior that they were doing the weeklies for.
Now, this is just my opinion. You can agree or disagree or put up your own opinion on this. But the entire existence of TNA Wrestling, I have found maybe a grand total of 4 years worth of watchable programming from them.
Yeah, it was probably mostly during the first couple of years.
Yeah, and, well, you know that I rarely missed a Wednesday night pay-per-view, so, because, you know, I got a chance to watch it free.
I missed a lot of them because it was really hard to get it down here.
Yeah, well, I really miss Bottoms Up Sports Pub.
That's only because you got free drinks.
Well, no, it was, the entire thing was fun, and yeah, I got free drinks. I don't know what it is. Shark always bought me a Sleeman's beer.
Right.
I don't know. Anyway, why don't we take our first time out of the evening and then come back and let's talk UFC 193 on our way back.
Sounds good to me.
All right, everybody, you're listening to WTR, Sunday Night Wrestling Talk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back with the upset of the millennium in UFC on the other side of this break.
Freedom scribbled on your sign. Headline, New York Times. Standing on the edge of a revolution. Hey, hey, just obey. Your secret's safe with the NSA. And God we trust, or the CIA. Standing on the edge of a revolution.
Out and about when your favorite WTR program is on the air, don't worry, we've got you covered. You can listen to WTR on the go with TuneIn Radio. Just download the TuneIn Radio app for your Android or iPhone, iPad or tablet, and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. Best of all, it's free. What are you waiting for? Download the TuneIn Radio app today. Tune in to WTR wherever you are.
You never know what will happen when you tune in to CB Radio.
Are you serious? That's the number 2.
That's currently number 7. It was number 2 at one point.
Apparently it's big or something, but I don't know what the fuck it is. It sounds like a dick bang or something.
Techno gangbang. Maybe the world needs to end. End of the world Gangnam style.
Weird. Wow. Comes popular. Like, I swear I've heard all about this stuff, but I don't... I was like, what is this, like a fucking martial art, or is this type of food or something? I don't know what the hell it is. Is it sexual position? play my, you know, work schedule and whatnot. But,
watch the video.
Okay, let me get the video then.
What the fuck?
I thought the people were going to be showing at the party. Oh, you done the battle over here. That's a horsey, Rob. That's a horsey. Not the pelvic thrust. Is that Mr. Sulu in the sky? Oh, they're riding that pony.
Yeah, I don't know.
That 800 million? Oh, I'm scared for the future.
Yeah.
This is why I don't go to clubs and dance, because I can't do this shit. Hey, I make sure the club's staying still. I'd lean on that wall. I make sure I got drinks in my hand, and I make sure that club's staying still.
Oh, yeah, he's going to be dreaming about him.
Oh, man, damn it. Now I got to... You gotta play something else, Rock.
I'm having a good
wake up and start riding the damn donkey.
Hey, Margarita.
Oh, I hated that song. Rock, I think you just replaced the song in my head with a worse song. Now I'm watching some Hispanic dude do it in my head. Oh, now it's being cross-referenced with the guy, the Asian dude. Oh, they're having a mess. Macarena.
Macarena
style. Tune in to CB Radio Saturdays, midnight Eastern Time on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
God bless, I was made in America.
Calling all pro wrestling fans, don't forget to check out PWMania.com. Again, the web address is PWMania.com. It's the best place on the internet today to get your late-breaking pro wrestling news and spoilers. We also have exclusive interviews, exclusive live results coverage of pay-per-views, rare photos, videos, divas, knockouts, and more. Exclusive writers, pro wrestler columns as well, where you can get a real insider's view of the world of professional wrestling. Bookmark it today, right now. It is PWMania.com.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show.
As my client Brock Lesnar said, Suplex City, bitch.
From the big returns.
So this is what it feels like to kick off Monday Night Raw.
To the shocking moment.
You will get your rematch. Put that man down. Your actions have consequences. And you know what? You're out of here. You're suspended. You know what? You're suspended indefinitely. Get out of my building now. Now get out.
And the moments that leave you speechless.
Snoop Mania, huh? Snoop Mania? Nah, Snoop Dizzle. It's called Axel Mania. And it's not a West Coast thing. It's not an East Coast thing. It's a worldwide thing. And I'm not gonna sit back and listen to you talk about Snoop Mania when Axel Mania is running wild in Los Angeles! Bow, wow, wow, yippee-yo, yippee-yay. Axel Mania is here to stay.
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Oh, you didn't know? Your ass better call somebody!
It's me, it's that D-O-double-G mobbing once again with Wild Talk Radio. And if you ain't down with that, I got two words for you. Suck it.
flying high, you know how I feel. Ooh, it's a new day, you know how I feel. Ooh, sun in the sky, you know how I feel.
Hey, and welcome back to WTR, Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Hey. It's time for a quick little plug because, well, I'm proud of myself, Mace. You heard that I wrote a cookbook.
Yes, Tim, I heard you wrote a cookbook.
I am so proud of myself. I really am. It's a great cookbook. I've sold two copies already without even trying to sell them or anything yet. So, and I've got another one on order that will be delivered likely tomorrow. But if you guys want to get your hands on the cookbook that Tim Stein wrote, that would be a good idea. You can actually get it in a PDF version that will be emailed it to you. All you got to do is get in touch with me, and I'll let you know how to do it. Email shop@mankitchentv.com, and I'll give you details once I get your email. So email. Just don't email from a Hotmail account. There, quick little plug over. Let's talk about Ronda Rousey. She got knocked the fuck out last night.
Yes, for those of you who haven't heard, and, well, I guess we'll call this spoilers if you haven't heard, but then again, by now you probably can't fucking miss it because it was everywhere.
Yeah, if you missed it, you live under a rock.
Pretty much. Every news site, every news report, hell, I saw gaming sites that posted the results.
Yeah.
Ronda Rousey lost to Holly Holmes in the second round of their fight at UFC 193 here in Melbourne, Australia, at Etihad Stadium, not Etihad.
How are they pronouncing it?
Etihad. I think they were trying to say the Iliad. It was like, every time they tried to pronounce, it was Rogan. Rogan, every time he tried to pronounce something, I want to punch him in the face.
Rogan's
in it. But then again, that's just fucking normal. But yeah, basically, it was a kick to the jaw from Holly Holmes that knocked Ronda Rousey flat on her ass, and the ref calling for a stoppage, or a technical knockout, if you will, to have the title switch hands, and people lose their fucking minds.
Everybody was losing their shit last night over that. I mean, I could not believe it. After 3 years of a steady diet of how tough a bitch Ronda Rousey was, to see that happen, just an absolute shocker, really.
Yeah, and a lot of it came down to how Rousey approached the fight. She wanted to go toe-to-toe with Holmes. She wanted to do the stand-up game. She wanted to box. She wanted to try – well, she tried to box against a kickboxer, which is fucking stupid.
Absolutely.
You know, she should have been trying for the ground game. Her trainers for this fight need to be fucking fired. Like, that was just bad prep coming into this. And to be honest, Ronda's attitude as of late, especially leading into this fight, really had that overspoiled, overhyped prissy princess feel to it.
Yeah.
So, you know, in a way, she needed to be humbled.
Well, all you know, night,
I am,
you know,
cheeky.
Yeah, all night long, the announcers were calling her, you know, like, you know, she's a rock star now because of everything, and the entire week training in Australia, I got that feeling that she was a rock star. And you and I went back and forth a couple of posts on Twitter. I posted that the whole thing gave me a feeling of the first half of Rocky III, where she's training in public and showing off for all the fans, and then gets her ass handed to her by Clever Lang in the first place, you know?
Yeah, you did put that analogy out there, and I tell you what, I was as mortified as I was seeing this loss go down, just like everybody else that was watching it, part of my brain was laughing, because I joked no less than 10 minutes before the fight with our good friend Clinton Bowman that Ronda, if Ronda gets knocked the fuck out, that will be the end of UFC events in Australia. I made that prediction 10 minutes before the fight. Oh, my God. But you know, people have turned around and gone, you know, her trainers didn't help her prepare enough.
Yeah.
There's the overhype. She got the overhyped ego because of all the attention that she's been getting as basically the poster girl for the UFC.
Yeah.
People have even called the Madden curse on her.
Oh, yeah. She's like the first female sports figure on the cover.
Pretty much, if you land an EA cover and you're in a sport, chances are you're going to get fucked up in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah, the Madden curse.
the Madden curse now extends to UFC games.
Jesus Christ. God damn you, John Madden.
just to see this, like, the entire fight was one-sided.
Oh, yeah. It did not look like Ronda Rousey that we're used to all night long.
No, instead of coming out straight out the gate, throwing a flurry and trying to lock her opponent down within the first 15, 20 seconds.
Yeah.
She came out and she chased for most of it. She was chasing Holly Holmes down.
And Holly Holmes was really good on her feet, staying away, running away.
Well, yeah, because she's used to it. Yeah. She's a former boxing champion. She's a former kickboxing champion.
Mm-hmm.
She knows the cardio to stick and move and to bounce around the ring and go the long yard. Rousey, on the other hand, has a very high judo background, has to be taught things like kickboxing and boxing, not used to the cardio requirements to take on such a style. She's used to quick and done.
Yeah.
The second this thing went into the second round, you knew this was Holmes's fight.
Well, I had an inkling the second that I saw Ronda start chasing Holly that, I bet you're off your game. What are you doing? You're going to lose. And that was the feeling I had right from the outset of the fight. The second I saw her running around, that's not your game, girl.
And, well, I saw it the second when she was letting Holmes dictate the positioning in the octagon.
Yep.
Like, for people who don't really understand the octagon, if you control the center, you control the entire fight.
Yep.
And Rousey was trying hard to keep the center. But at the same time, Holmes was just dancing around her, spinning her around. It was like she had her on a fucking lasso.
Well, my thought completely was, what are you doing? Don't chase her. You're the champ. You have to make her beat you.
Yeah, and that was the thing.
That was my thought.
Yeah, it's like she shouldn't have been chasing at all. She should have come out and started just throwing fucking punches and kicks right and left, getting her down on the ground, locking in that armbar, done. Instead, no, I want to take you on face-to-face. I want to get right up, and I'm going to be cocky. I'm going to put my chin out and stuff like that. The second she started doing that, Holmes was like, okay, you gave me a target. Tag, 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 tag.
Yeah. And you saw
halfway through the first round, Rousey's face was fucked up.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely, completely. She looked totally lost. To tell you the truth, I had a funny feeling leading up to the fight. Yes, I'm thinking about it. Everybody that Ronda has faced has gotten into Ronda's face at the press conference, and Ronda has just stood there and not done anything. It was completely reversed this time around. Ronda took the aggressive stance, and she was the one, like, getting into Holly's face, and she was just, shit-talking her all over social media like crazy, and I'm like, what the hell, woman?
Yeah, and that was the thing. Rousey was doing the shit-talking. It came to the weigh-in. She starts to get up in Holmes's face. Holmes fucking tags her.
Yeah.
And that's when you knew fucking Holly Holmes had set up shop in Ronda's head.
Yep.
And you knew that she fucking found the button to push.
And she pushed it.
Yep.
Without hesitation.
And it worked. It really worked.
Like, in hindsight, should we be so surprised that Ronda had her ass handed to her the way she did?
Not really.
Oh.
Not really, because, like, and this is the thing, like, the Australian crowd was said to be quiet.
Yeah.
I know for a fact. I've been in that stadium.
It's
Believe me.
Big.
But it's huge. It's an Australian football stadium.
Yeah.
Okay. It is designed as an outdoor arena, and it takes a lot of noise to reverberate. It is designed to silence a rowdy crowd. So that's why you couldn't hear it so much on the audio. People were going. I had friends and cohorts and everything in that audience saying this place is like fucking, Thunderdome on acid.
Yeah.
And you couldn't hear shit on the pay-per-view.
Well, when the Rogan and the other guy, what's his name, were talking about, quote-unquote, how quiet and respectful it's been, I'm like, guys, you're a bunch of morons. I'm looking at the crowd, and I can see them being loud. You know what I mean? You can see it.
And thank you, Rock, for the picture of, you know, that those have been popping up all over the internet. For those of you who don't have the possibility of seeing this, we are getting the combination Holly Holmes, Paul Heyman pictures. You know, my client, Holly Holm, has conquered the streak.
I saw that like 5 minutes after the fight last.
Within 10 seconds, I saw them. Yeah. And Heyman was loving it. But to go back to what I was saying about the crowd, because you could hear what was going on from the corner, but at the end of that first round, Rousey's people are sitting there going, oh, that was a great round. That was absolutely brilliant. You got her exactly where you want her. Hyping her up. I would have been sitting there going, that was fucking bullshit. What the fuck are you doing? Why the fuck are we sitting here at the end of round one? This should have been over already. What the fuck is wrong with you? And that's the thing. I reckon the whole rock star mentality that was brought up by Rogan and others leading into this fight actually is fucking true. This is what fucking Ronda Rousey now believed of herself.
Yeah.
That she was untouchable, that she was unbreakable.
Well, if she had fought her fight, she might have been.
Pretty much. But at the end of the day, she got caught. She got cocky, she got caught, she got smashed.
Well, you put it perfectly. Holly Holm took up shop in her head. She set up housekeeping in Ronda Rousey's head, literally right from the outset.
Yeah.
And looking at Ronda, she looked scared. Even days before the fight, she looked worried.
Yeah, she knew that this wasn't going to be the usual fight that she's had.
Yeah.
She knew this was going to be the challenge, and I think part of her realized that she wasn't prepared properly.
Yeah, and like no diss against her previous opponents. I mean, she has fought some really, really strong, really talented girls who just couldn't stand with the ground and pound that Ronda is good at. And you know, I don't know how many times we can say it. Ronda didn't play. She didn't fight her fight.
No, and that was the thing. She couldn't, because Holmes knew that she had that one move. She had the armbar.
Yep.
So every time they clinched up, all of a sudden, switch Ronda around to her back. Make sure you can't get that arm.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. And that's a good thing about kickboxers. Kickboxers are known that when they get into a clinch, they can still strike. They can still throw fucking, you know, elbows, knees, all that type of stuff in a clinch.
Yeah.
So, you know, that negates the attempts at the armbar, because Ronda can't get in close or else she's the one going to get fucked up.
Yeah, well, on occasion, and it totaled maybe 30 seconds. Ronda actually had some really good offense, but that only took place when she had a chance to get Holly down, and that was, like I said, a grand total of maybe 30 seconds of the entire fight.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
And, and this is the other thing that got me. Like, no touching of gloves at the start of the match. I agree. Like, so many people went, that's disrespectful as fuck. I'm like, no shit.
Yeah, I was taken aback by that myself. I'm like, Jesus. And I'm sitting here by myself watching. I'm like, whoa.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, that's gonna screw something up.
I said that out loud. Whoa. And you know what I'm thinking when I said that, too. It is like, that's just karma's a bitch, and you're going to find out.
But then that's the thing. Like, you could see it after the match was done. Like, after the kick landed, you saw it on Rousey's face. She was pissed off. She was upset. She was in full fuck this, I don't want to be here mode.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I meant by the prissy princess mentality.
Yeah.
She got done. She didn't want to be there. She bailed out of the octagon as soon as Holmes's hand was raised.
Oh,
she bailed straight out. Gone. No post-fight. No post-fight interview.
Yeah.
No post-fight press conference either.
Nope.
Because after she bailed, she was basically straight from the from Etihad Stadium, I'm going to say quite possibly, to the Royal Melbourne Hospital, which is not that far away.
Yeah.
At this point, Rousey's lower jaw was severely fractured in three different areas from that kick.
That's what the initial reports were. Now, Dana White came up and said, no, she doesn't have a concussion or a broken jaw. It was just precautionary.
Oh, no. This has come out extremely recently, like today.
Oh.
Because we're still getting the news reports. You got to remember, she's still in Australia.
Uh-huh. Okay.
So our people still are getting, you know, while Dana White's flown back to the States and everything already, Fucking Rousey and her people are still here, so our reporters are still covering.
So, yeah, you've got news already that we're not getting yet.
Yeah.
Okay.
Three different places in the lower jaw, fractured maxilla, upper jaw as well.
Oh, shit, really?
So, yeah, so she is basically,
Yeah, she's drinking her ham sandwiches through a straw for the next month.
Pretty much. Jaw wiring until the bones heal.
God damn.
And basically, even Rousey's PR team posted themselves that she is going to have to take some time away from the Octagon.
Yeah, she's supposed to be filming movies too, but at the same time...
That's not going to be happening anytime soon.
Yeah. At the same time, what was I going to say? I'm not sure. I forgot. I lost my train of thought. Anyway, she was out cold before she even hit the canvas. If you watch there is one replay that catches it perfectly after she gets tagged by Holly in the side of the throat and the lower jaw. It's just the lights went right out, eyes closed, and she dropped. You know, when she dropped like a rock, she dropped on top of her head.
Yeah. Well, that was a full-blown knockout.
Yeah, nothing technical about it.
Yeah, but so. the ref had to step in and call it. Yeah, that's what it was.
Oh, yeah, there's absolutely no choice. I mean, she was out cold when she's getting the fists and the elbows from Holly after she was lying straight down.
Oh, yeah, like that kick to the jaw is what did it.
Yep.
And that's what knocked her out. So when, of course, you know, the follow-up came along, of course, the ref's going to, like, dive in, like, she's out. Just back off, please.
Yeah. And I just absolutely, totally stunned. Now, okay, are you ready for the conspiracy theories?
Sure, go ahead.
Let me ask you something. When Brock Lesnar lost the title, what time of the year was it?
I can't remember.
Mr. Producer, if you know, that would be good for you to tell us. It was in the last half of the year. Undertaker was at the fight, watching it live, and he did that interview, and then Brock Lesnar loses the title. What happened immediately following that? Brock Lesnar winds up beating The Undertaker at WrestleMania 30, right?
Yeah.
That was Brock Lesnar's next big thing, was beating Undertaker. And now Brock Lesnar is a staple of the WWE, even if he is only quote-unquote part-time. Good work if you can get it, you know, fairly easy way to pick up the paycheck, relatively speaking, so to speak. But here's the thing, Ronda Rousey loses the title in a very convincing fashion. There have been rumors all summer that she is going to be going back to WWE and make an appearance at WrestleMania 32. And she wants to win the lady, you know, like the Divas title and do all this other shit. Now, if Ronda Rousey shows up and raises some shit at WrestleMania, I'm calling UFC fixed.
I doubt it. Okay. If Rousey's jaw is as fucked up as reports are saying,
yeah,
she's not going to be in any sense to do WrestleMania, especially doing anything physical at WrestleMania.
Yeah, I wouldn't be too surprised.
However, I would still say Vince would be remiss to chase after her with a checkbook at this stage while her name still has some notoriety in press.
Yeah, I mean, WrestleMania is 5 months away. It's going to take about 8 weeks for her face to heal up, like the muscle, the bones, before she can do any training or anything like that.
Yeah. At this point, like, this is the thing. Like, now she's lost.
Yeah.
I reckon there's probably more marketability for Ronda Rousey away from UFC than there is in a rematch.
Quite possibly, depending on what avenues they decide to open up for.
Well, as you say, you know, she's got movie deals.
Yep.
You know, she's going to be making good money off the movie deals. If Vince comes along with, you know, hey, I'll sign you for X amount of dates for X amount of money, come work WrestleMania, come work a couple of events.
Yep.
She's already set for life at this point.
Oh, you know,
she doesn't need to go. The only reason why she'd go back for a rematch is sort of a pride deal. You know, I need to get my win back.
Yeah,
which is too risky.
Yeah.
You know, you go back, what happens if you go for this rematch and she gets her ass kicked again, even worse, like a knockout in the first round? You know, then her name has zero marketability anywhere.
Absolutely. Like right now, Strike When the Iron's Hot can't do a goddamn thing for a good 3 months. I would peg it 3 months before she could be doing anything in the public eye again, right?
Yeah, something along those lines.
But she can still stay in the public's minds and thoughts and stuff like that by making sure that all, you know, having all of these rumors fueled. And, you know, there's a whole entire hype machine that will spill out, hey, maybe she's going to go to WWE. Hey, maybe she's going to do this. Hey, maybe she's going to do that. And, you know, she's all over social media on her own, whether she posts it herself or has a bunch of people doing it for her. So she can make sure that her name is still out there, or her handlers can.
Well, this is the thing. Like, there's been such a backlash against her because of her actions pre-fight and during the fight.
Yeah.
She needs to do a Sonny. You know, step the fuck away. And just disappear for a little bit.
Yeah.
Let the heat die off and then come back fresh. But I've got this weird feeling that while she's recovering, she's going to be looking at what she can do for herself, you know, financially.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a good feeling that she's going to drop a retirement at some point. She's not coming back.
I would not be surprised. Not in the least bit, if that's the case. At this point in time, would you say it was almost expected?
I wouldn't say expected,
but like, just not surprising.
It wouldn't be surprising if she drops.
So, yeah, but that's what happened last night at UFC 193. It's not a nightmare. It's not a bad dream. It really happened. Ronda Rousey losing to the new bantamweight champion, Holly Holmes. So
yeah, and you watch that bantamweight title go back to being as irrelevant as the WWE Women's Championship in the 1990s.
You don't think Holly Holm is going to be able to do the same justice that that Ronda did? It's not going to propel her.
She'll do it justice in the octagon.
In the octagon,
right? Like her fights will be great. Yeah. I don't see the same marketability.
Okay, you don't see her actually getting in movies and stuff like that, thanks to the fact that she's a really tough woman in UFC and all
exactly.
That stuff.
I don't see her having the same marketability as Rousey did.
Yeah, I'd have a hard time actually trying to form any kind of cogent argument over that, really, to tell you the truth. So, but time will tell what'll happen. Everybody, you've seen the last of Ronda Rousey for like I said, a minimum 3 months. What do you figure, Mace?
She's easily out probably about 3 to 5 months. Easy.
Okay. Yeah. So that's that for that. Why don't we talk about rumor? Apparently there's a rumor out there that Batista will return to WWE and face Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania 32.
Don't give a shit.
Brock Lesnar, yeah. Batista, nuh-uh. No.
No, not if his comments on there was some sort of podcast recently where he was really against, you know, what WWE was doing last time he came in. I don't see him coming back.
What about a dream match? Just for the hell of it, throw in a dream match. What would you like to see take place, either WWE, UFC, anything?
To be honest, like logically speaking, I don't see any dream matches.
No?
Yeah, most of the guys that I would love to see either aren't with the company or can't wrestle anymore.
Yeah.
You know, my ideal thing would have been Austin in his prime versus CM Punk.
Yeah.
But neither guy is possible.
Yeah.
You know, it's Taker in his prime versus Sting in his prime. Again, both guys are too old.
How would you feel if Goldberg came back for a one-off against Steve Austin?
No, terrible idea.
You're in the same boat as me. Because that, you know, that's been floated out there as one of those hopeful, wishful rumors by some people. And I'm like, yeah, maybe 15 years ago. But, yeah. You know what? Let's take our second time out of the evening. And then we'll come back and we do our Survivor Series preview and pick 'em. Sound good?
Sounds good to me.
All right, everybody, you're listening to WTR, Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. We're playing pick 'em on the other side of this timeout, so get ready. You're going to get a chance to tell us who you think's going to win which match, and you might win something, or you might just get bragging rights until the next pay-per-view. We'll let you know on the other side of this break. Finally going to go take our final time out of the evening. Don't forget to play pick 'em with us when we come back. Roll the dice. There you go.
cards, break the rules, that's who you are. Whoever said play it safe never played the game. So many players, too many pawns, too many judges say it.
Calling all pro wrestling fans, don't forget to check out PWMania.com. Again, the web address is PWMania.com. It's the best place on the internet today to get your late-breaking pro wrestling news and spoilers. We also have exclusive interviews, exclusive live results coverage of pay-per-views, rare photos, videos, divas, knockouts, and more. Exclusive writers, pro wrestler columns as well, where you can get a real insider's view of the world of professional wrestling. Bookmark it today, right now. It is PWMania.com.
Thursday nights, The Rack lays the smackdown on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Thursday.
Join me, Lindsay Ward, and my handyman producer, Sir Rockin', as we give you all the latest wrestling news, discussions, our reactions to both NXT and SmackDown, along with interviews with some of our favorite wrestling superstars.
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar. What's up? This is WWE Superstar The Miz. This is Mr. Money in the Bank, the undisputed future of WWE. Seth Rollins.
This is Kane from WWE.
The future is now when you experience The Rack. Thursday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Thursday.
Can't catch a WTR program live? Well, we've got three easy ways for you to listen whenever you want. First, listen to the Wild Talk Radio Network on iTunes. Just head over to iTunes and search for Wild Talk Radio Network and subscribe to our feed. Secondly, download the Stitcher Radio app and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. And finally, just visit the archive section right here at wildtalkradio.com, and you can download every single episode of all your favorite programs. Best of all, it's free. Keep up to date and spread the word to your friends on how you can be part of the Wild Talk Radio Network listening experience.
This is the new face of Impact Wrestling, Christopher Daniels, letting you know that you're listening to Wild Talk Radio Network.
As a child, you would wait and watch from far away. But you always knew that you'd be the one to work while they all play. And you'd lay awake at night and scheme of all the things that you would change, but it was just a dream.
And welcome back to WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, streaming live on TuneIn. Hey, you know, you can listen to us when you're on the go and you can't be in front of your computer. Just download the absolutely 1,000% free TuneIn app. Do a search for Wild Talk Radio Network and you too can be like the rest of us and listen to us on your mobile device, wherever the hell you are, whenever we're on the air doing stuff on the internet. Yeah, a special shout out to PWMania.com for all your wrestling news and views. Check them out, www.PWMania.com. And you feel like talking, pick them?
Yes, let's pick things.
Let's pick things. Now, of course, we're going to be relying on Joe Producer to give us the matchups so we can decide who's going to win according to what we say.
Well, start with the first two matches that don't have the tournament, and I'll pull up the tournament. They're listed right there, Tim.
So we'll rely on our Joe producer to give us the matches on the pay-per-view. Do I sound like a broken record?
Okay.
You could. I'm just being whatever. You're
being a dick. No. I'm looking up the tournament. Go ask the other matches.
Yeah, the WWE Championship Tournament.
Mm-hmm.
You're looking that one up?
Yeah. Go talk about the Wyatt Family vs. Brothers Junction. Is that what you want to?
I don't know why you're looking that one up. We all know Roman Reigns is going to win. Anyway, okay, fine. Let's talk 2-on-2, the Wyatt Family versus the Brothers of Destruction, Mace.
Yes, very weird that they're going 2-on-2 on this one instead of trying to actually, you know, gather up people for a 4-on-4, you know, Survivor Series style matchup. Because it'd be nice if they had, you know, Survivor Series matches at the Survivor Series pay-per-view.
That would just be ridiculous. Well, how dare you talk
crazy? I know. We can give them away on free TV instead.
Damned Aussie and your damned Aussie ideas.
I know.
Ice cream!
I wouldn't be surprised if we don't get one as well. I think we're going to have some sort of combination for Survivor Series. Maybe feature some tag teams. We'll see.
I'm thinking something's going to bugger. You know, they'll do something maybe tomorrow night or like in the middle of the pay-per-view where the match gets restarted as a Survivor Series match, maybe.
Nah, I'm saying something completely different, just another type of Survivor Series tag.
Yeah, they'll throw something together probably involving probably Dudley's, Usos, New Day, and Stardust.
Yeah, just a total match nobody cares about or any of that other stuff, so you never know, right?
We could bring back the midgets.
That would actually be a goddamn blessing at this point.
Only if the midget commentary team is there.
And only if we can have the King's Court back again. Let's relive some good stuff.
There you go, yeah. So, pick 'em. Brothers of Destruction or the Wyatt Family?
This one's the Brothers, easily.
Yeah, I can't disagree with you on that one. Both of us are saying Brothers of Destruction. Well, you know, Kane and Taker have got some revenge to get. And you figure that we'll actually see them tomorrow night on Raw.
It's the go-home. Of course we will. They'll end the show with it.
Undertaker's advertised.
Yeah, it would be stupid not to. Don't forget, if you guys are in the chat room right now listening live, post your pick'em in the chat room. It'll get recorded. But we want you to post your pick'ems on social media or email them, media@wildtalkradio.com, facebook.com/group/wildtalkradionetwork. Is that right?
Yes, and I'm talking to Chase in the chat room now. Wait until we post the card before you put out your picks, because WWE is going to post the full card tomorrow.
So wait until tomorrow before you post your picks.
Yes.
But post your picks on social media or email them, and that would be damn good. Next matchup, we got the WWE Divas Championship. Paige is actually going to take on Charlotte, Mace.
Yeah, this is the feud that nobody gives a flying fuck about because, you know, Paige is with them. Paige is not against. Is against them. Paige is with them. Paige is against them. Who gives a flying fuck? Charlotte wins. Move on.
There you go. Yeah, Charlotte wins. They're not going to take the belt over this quickly. It's just that this match is not something that should have happened for another 2 months, in my opinion. Just saying.
All right, so tomorrow night, the championship tournament continues. You have Roman Reigns taking on Cesaro. I assume everyone assumes Roman Reigns wins.
Wouldn't that be awesome if he loses?
You know, this could be a really good match if they give him time tomorrow.
No, they might give him time.
They got 3 hours to fill, so I would assume they give him some time.
Yeah, they only need 2 hours for Raw. But that's another argument for another day that we're all in agreement with, but WWE is too stupid to listen to us, so whatever.
So do we think that Kalisto is going to pull off 2 upsets?
No.
All right, so Alberto Del Rio versus Roman Reigns at Survivor Series. Who wins?
Roman Reigns.
Ramen noodles.
Okay. So,
which is a college student's best friend, don't forget.
Kevin Owens and Neville tomorrow night on Raw.
Kevin Owens.
Dolph Ziggler and Dean Ambrose.
Oh, shit. Dean.
Do you agree, Mace?
Yeah, Ambrose and Owens.
Okay. So, who wins that one?
Ambrose.
God, I want Ambrose to win that one. Wouldn't that be awesome? So, really do.
So, you're going to pick that?
Oh, I just get the feeling they won't go that way, but fuck, you know, screw it. I'm gonna go that way. Yeah, I'm going to call Ambrose.
All right, then you get the main event. Ambrose and Reigns.
Ambrose Reigns, yep.
Who you got?
Oh, they're going to give it to Reigns.
Are they?
Yeah, I'm also going to say Reigns.
Don't even try to stir up controversy on this one, Rock, because you don't even have a brick to lay a foundation with.
There's many foundations. You can make Dean Ambrose your champion.
Yeah, it's not going to happen.
They could.
You could, but they're going to turn around and pull the trigger on an Ambrose heel turn, which is stupid. But hey, it's WWE.
You idiots, don't turn Dean heel, especially now. Oh, moron. So, yeah, this is what we're saying, and I think that we're all in agreement that Roman Reigns winds up winning the championship.
Those two aren't in agreement. I'm thinking Dean Ambrose wins. But that's
You know what? You don't even have enough for a paper argument on this one, because we're talking WWE.
I know. That's why Dean Ambrose could possibly
win. This is even flimsier than your Triple H thing from 2 years ago.
The Triple H movement. Hey, it's a thing. It's a thing.
Yeah, in your mind.
All right, so that's WTR Pick'em for a little bit of a card that they have. So
there you go. We'll see what happens once they post the absolute final card tomorrow, and then once that's out there, you can, that's heavy news. You can post your Pick'em picks.
Mm-hmm.
On Facebook or email them at media@wildtalkradio.com.
With that, we do quick hits.
Absolutely.
Let's do it.
Time now for some Wrestle Talk Radio quick hits.
Wow.
That's right. It's that part of the show where our panel has 60 seconds to answer sometimes outrageous and ridiculous questions posed to them.
Wow.
Step up to the plate and get ready for some Wrestle Talk Radio quick hits.
So I asked the age-old question to you, Tim. War, what is it good for?
How does that song go again? Absolutely nothing!
Okay, now your actual question. Favorite Undertaker moment?
Oh, shit. Anytime he sits up off the canvas after being dead.
May, same question.
It was one of those things that got eliminated from one of the best Survivor Series moments, and that would be his return in 2005 that made Randy Orton shit himself, instead of shitting in somebody else's bag.
And Tim, favorite Undertaker match?
Oh, shit. Taker, Shawn Michaels.
Which one?
Yeah, exactly.
All right, so he's going to hold collection. Mace, favorite Undertaker match?
I'm very partial to, what was it, SummerSlam 98? That was Austin and Taker for the title. The two had a really big, well-fought match. Kane even came out to interfere, and Taker said, "No, go to the back. Don't need you here." At the end of it all, you know, Austin wins. Taker grabs the belt from the referee. Looks like he's going to clock Austin with the belt, but ends up handing it over to him and saying, "Good job," and leaves. It was just a very well-told story that night.
Okay, and a bonus question. Which is your favorite Glenn Jacobs character? Isaac Yankum or Fake Diesel?
No. Fake Diesel. Because he just looks so stupid with those glasses on.
And apparently on one of the WWE list shows, they actually have him talk about it or something.
Cool. I'll not go track that down.
Okay. Tim, which is your favorite?
Yeah, Fake Diesel.
Okay, that does it. Quick hits.
Are we done? Whatever happened to us doing the other thing that we're not doing tonight, so we'll have to do four matchups next Sunday?
We pushed that back.
We blame that on Omega because he's not here this week to contribute.
And it would be in its 3-10 because it's the semifinals and the finals.
Yes, I know. I was just bugging. So there, that's all there is to it. Yeah, that's it. Another edition. And yes, it's an abbreviated edition. Mace has to go have dinner because he's hungry. So we're going to quit a little bit early tonight. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. Don't forget, next Sunday night is the pay-per-view, so we're on an hour later. Yeah, but tomorrow night, immediately following Raw, it's another edition of SmackDown. No?
No.
Oh, then it must be the Raw post show.
11:10 p.m. Eastern. We'll recap everything that happens on Monday Night Raw.
Yeah, and of course, Thursday night, another edition of the multi-time, multi-award-winning The Rack with your host, Lindsay Ward.
We will preview Survivor Series, get her thoughts on actually going to Survivor Series. We'll review NXT and so much more. It's The Rack, 10 p.m. Eastern, right here on Wild Talk Radio Network, at Rack Radio Show on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. Follow Lindsay on Twitter, at Linz Ward.
Yeah, Saturday night, midnight-ish, or as close as I can get to it, another edition of The Wild, The Wacky, The Weird, and The Unusual, The Absolutely Queer, CB Radio. Queer is an odd, not gay. You got nothing? What? You're ignoring me, Rod?
Yes, I'm ignoring you. I had the
microphone. All right, unignore me.
NFL picks, hashtag blame Rod moments, all the things you can handle. It's CB Radio, Saturday nights, midnight-ish, at CB Radio Live, Facebook, Twitter, and CBRadioLive.com. Hashtag Limro.
There you go. Yeah, everybody, follow me on Twitter at Flames Forums. Follow me on Twitter as well at Man Kitchen TV.
Buy the book.
Also, what?
Buy the book.
Just, I'll get to it. You can also follow me on Facebook now at Facebook.com/Men Chefs. Is that right? Let me double check the back of my book. Because the link is in the back of my book. Yeah, Facebook.com/ManChefs. Not Men Chefs, but Man Chefs. Okay? Follow me on Facebook there. And, hey, Rock, do you want to buy a book?
Buy the book. Everyone, buy the book.
I wrote a book, and I'm printing it out and everything else like that. You can actually have a physical copy of from the Man Kitchen. I'll even autograph it for you. Or you can actually get the PDF version, download it onto your device, like your tablet or whatever, to find out how to get your hands on either one. Or, hey, both. Christmas is coming. These things are going to make a great goddamn stocking stuffer. Email me at shop@mankitchentv.com. And buy the book.
Buy the book. At Wild Talk Radio, Facebook.com, Wild Talk Radio Network.
Yeah, follow Mace on the Twitter machines at the Mace thing, and check him out on the YouTube at WTR Games Garage.
There you go.
And of course, our guy that's not here, Mr. TJ Omega, he's all over the internet. You'll run into him one way or the other.
TJOmega.org, TJ Omega on Twitter, TJ Reviews on Facebook.
Yeah, that's it. And that being said, follow us on Wild Talk at Wild Talk Radio, and don't forget our Facebook pages. Facebook.com/groups/Wild Talk Radio Networks. Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. Follow Wrestle Talk Radio at WTR Sunday night. We're done plugging. Get out of here. Hey, Rod, how many books?
Try that again.
How many books did you say you wanted? 10?
I didn't say I wanted anything. I said people should buy the book.
You're supposed to play along, you dumbass. All right, buy the book.
Buy the book.
T-shirts coming soon.
And aprons.
Buy the book. And girls with no shirts wearing the apron. Oh, wait, that's just a picture.
Buy the book.
Buy the book.
Buy the book.
End the show. Buy the book.
WildTalkRadio.com.